Okay, so today we're on Moed Katan Daf Hey. So I'll begin on Daf Dalet Beis, just two words from the end of the line. Actually, let me get back to the Mishnah on Beis and Aleph for a bit. Okay, I'm going back to the Mishnah on 2a. Okay, just back to the Mishnah. So if you look in the Mishnah, it's around eight lines down in the Mishnah on Beis, so this, with the small alpha in parentheses. The Tana Mishnah says, that on Cholamoid, you can repair the cisterns that have been damaged, and you could clear the debris out of them. When we're you can repair like the streets, and Recholot might be the area behind the homes, or it might be the street in front of the stores. The mikvodamayim, you can repair the mikvahs. But osin called tzarchei rabim, you can do all the tzarchei rabim, all the communal needs. Now, so this is setting forth one exception for Melechah Chol HaMoed. So we didn't really have, I did a little bit on Shabbos, but on Chol HaMoed, in other words, the Chol HaMoed is like the Internal Revenue Code. All money that you earn is assumed to be taxable income unless it falls under one of the exceptions. That's the way the Internal Revenue Code works. So all malacha is defaults over to being prohibited in Chol HaMoed unless it fits into one of the exceptions that Chazal set forth. So the Mishnah really taught at least two exceptions, maybe more. It's teaching Melechat Dabar HaAved is one exception, and Tzarchei Rabim, Melechat Dabar HaAved is where you're losing the principal amount. Then you could do Melech and Chol HaMoed, and then, but with Melech Tavar HaAved, if it's Tircha Yetera, then you can't do it. If it's excessive exertion, you can't even do Melech Tavar HaAved. And then we have Tzarchei Rabim, communal needs, that you have a heter, and even if it's Tircha Yetera, you can do the Tzarchei Rabim. And let me just finish the Mishnah. With Sinai Kvarot, we demarcate the Kvarot, or they would put lime around the Keber, so people who are carrying truma know not to come near it. And you go out and notify people about the different, the mixture of seeds that are growing in the fields. Okay, let's go down to Dalet Beis 4b on page 8. Okay, so the Gemara says, from the Mishnah sounds like I could do chatita. Chatita is when I'm like Roto-Rooter, I'm clearing away the debris. Like you have a cistern, stones fell into it and other debris that I can clear out. But chafira is when I dig it from ab initio, from the beginning. That sounds like I can't do because the Mishnah says I can only do chatita. Didn't say anything about chafira. He says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov and Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says that's only, in other words, the chatita is whether the rabbim need it or the rabbim don't need it. But he says, but the chafira is only if the rabbim srichin lehen. In other words, the people need it on Chol HaMoed, then I can even do chafira, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, rabbim srichin lehen mishari. So that's the topic that we're going to discuss over the next 20 lines. If I only need chafira, so am I allowed to do that? If the rabbim, in other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, chafira is also permissible if the rabbim require it. So he says, is that true? Vahatani, we learn in a brayso, and this brayso is going to be problematical, and we'll explain it at the end. Vahatani, chotzin. Chotzin is like I can clear out the debris. Chotzin is the Roto-Rooter, okay? And the borod is like the person has the pit. The sichin is like a ditch, and maarot is the cave. But it means like a square hole in the ground that a cover is put on it. But there are receptacles for water. I can do chatita for it. Ve'in srich lamar shel rabim, and certainly I can do chatita for the rabim, for the communal, bodies of water. Vein chofrin boros sichin maarot shel rabim. But I can't do chafira for the rabbim, v'ein lamar shel yachid, certainly not the yachid. So this brisa seems to set up an equivalence between the yachid and the rabbim. In other words, both we think from the brisa that both the yachid and the rabbim can do chatita, but neither the rabbim nor the yachid can do chafira. Yet Rabbi Yochanan just taught me a minute ago, he had a diuk from our Mishnah that I could do chafira if it's rabbim, if they need the water on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, "My lab is rabbin strichim lahem." Is it not that the Brice is talking about that even if the rabbin require it, you still can't do chafira on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara says, "Lo, b'shein rabbin strichim lahem." The Gemara says, "No, I'll say that this Brice, in order to reconcile this Brice with Reb Yochanan, is when the rabbin don't require it, but Lo Yitzur the rabbin would require it, they could do chafira." So the Gemara says, let's see how the Brisa would work out that way. The Chavataka b'yachid, shen yachid tzarich lahem. So then it would mean, the Peshat and the Brisa would mean that the Rabbim, they don't require it per se for Chol HaMoed. They could do Chatita, they can't do Chafira. But what about the Yachid? The Yachid also would be the same thing. So he says, the Chavataka b'yachid, shen yachid tzarich lahem, Chatita mishari. Is the Yachid allowed to do Chatita if he doesn't require it in Chol HaMoed? So again, the exception for the Yachid, l'chora, would be Tzarche HaMoed. In other words, if a person has requirements, you know, for Chol HaMoed, so he could do that on Chol HaMoed, but if he doesn't require Chol HaMoed, he can't do it. He's an individual. So is he allowed to do that? For Hatanya, we learn the Braisa, Boro Sichin Ma'aro Shel Yachid. If it's a bor, a siach, or ma'ara, again, the different types of receptacles of water belong to a yachid, kontin ma'im tochan, so on Chol HaMoed, I can channel water into it or bring water into it. He says, avalo chotetin, otan is what bach has, I can't be chotated, which is to like clear out the debris. He says, velo shafin as it came, I can't repair the walls that are, you know, the plaster in the walls. He says, but the rabbim, I could do chatita and I could repair the plaster. So here we have this price has a distinction between the yachid and the rabbim. So left to my own devices, I would have said that that it means that so I would have said that if the rabbin, I would have said it's talking about that's certainly right. So it doesn't sound like from this braisa that the yachid can do chatita if he doesn't require it. That's the way it sounds like. So the Gemara says v'alamai b'shiyachid tzarich lahem. So let's go back to the first braisa, which is giving us all the problem that made the equivalence between chatita and chafira. So let's say that Bryce is talking about when it's necessary. That's when you could do the chatita and you can't do the chafira. So the Gemara says the chavataka b'rabbi shrom is shrichlehem. So that would mean that the rabbin can't do chafira. Chafira miyasir is chafira prohibited. Ba'atani borot tzichon amar rosh yachid kontzim ma'im tzochan v'kotzin otan v'lo shafin esetan v'chobin tzochan v'lo shafin otan besed, that the yachid, he can put water in it and he can do chatita, but he can't repair the cracks in it. And lo chotzin latochan may not even belong here, is what Rish, I think the Dikduke Sofrim says. Lo sidon tamasid, I can't smear it with lime. So rabim chofron tamasid. Anyway, so the difficulty is that here we have a brisa that makes a distinction between the yachid and the rabim. The earlier brisa didn't make any distinction between the two of them. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the rabbim are allowed to do chafira when they need it, when they do need it. So Ella Kasha HaKamaita. So the Gemara says the first braisa is the one that's giving us the problems. So the Gemara says Taritz Hachi. Here's the main line. The Gemara says the first braisa, this is the way we're going to tighten up the first braisa. Chotin borosh yachid, shiachid sirat lahem. If it's an individual, he can do chatita. Chatita means to clear the debris out of the cistern. So if it's an individual and he needs it during Chol HaMoed, he can do chatita, he can clear the debris out of it. But ain't tzarich l'mor b'shel rabim. And certainly if it's a communal cistern, we can clear the debris out of that on Chol HaMoed as well. Sh'rabim tzarich l'hem. Da'afilu chafira mutar, because, and this is the way he's touching up the first braisa, because if the rabim require it, even chafira is permissible. But ain't chofrin borot tzarich l'mor b'shel rabim. But if they don't require it during Chol HaMoed, they can't do chafira. And certainly the yachid can. The yachid doesn't require it. Even chatita is prohibited. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. If it's an individual and he has a cistern, so if he doesn't require anything, he cannot do any of the malacha. But if he requires the water, he can do chatita, but he cannot do chafira. He can't do chafira if he's an individual. And I assume we can't do chafira because it involves would involve like a tircha yitera, like an excessive amount of effort. But if it's the rabbim, so then they could do chatita even if they don't require the chatita for even if they don't require the water during Chol HaMoed, they could do chatita. The rabbim could. But chafira, if they require during Chol HaMoed, they could even do chafira. That's the way we're leaving this, okay? Now, let me just finish the sugya, and then I'll pause. We'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So let's take it back in the Gemara. Okay. Now, the Gemara says we're around six lines above where it gets wide on Hey Amud Aleph, okay? So, Am Ravashi, Manit Nami Deka. Ravashi says, a careful reading of our Mishnah would elicit the same result. He says, the Katani, Osin Kol Tzarchei Rabim. The Tana Mishnah says that on Chol HaMoed, one is permitted to do all the Tzarchei Rabim, all the needs of the community. It means, he says, Kol HaTuyimai. What is Kol? All? What is that coming to include? Laba HaTuy Chafira. Is it not to also include Chafira, which is excavating for the first time a cistern? So Gemara says, lo, la tuye hadatan. So Gemara wants to deflect the proof and say that I could say that line of the mission is referring to a different communal need, not the cistern, not the fira. La tuye hadatanya, the yotzin lev kavetzit adrachim, that on Chol HaMoed, I go out where the people go out to clear off the thorns from the thoroughfares. He says, l'takin and rechovot, and to fix the rechovot. Rechovot are either the streets in front of the stores, or rechovot can mean like the area behind the homes. He says, "Biera istra ta'ot." And istra ta'ot, so Rashi says, "Drachim ufulashim." I think Rav Shechter said to me, it means like a straight path. He said, "Bilamor la mikvaot," and to measure the mikvaot, mikvahs, "B'chol mikvah shem bo'arab misa'ah," any mikvah that doesn't have 40 sa'ah, "Margin l'tocho arba'im sa'ah," so I channel into it 40 sa'ah. How do I know that if they didn't go out and take care of all these communal needs, that like they're responsible for the murder? In other words, they don't clear out the roads and somebody gets killed on the road. You know, so he says it's like as if they killed the person. It's by Allah Adamim. So he says, so the Gemara wants to say, Osin Kol Tzarchei Rabim is not talking about the chafira of a new cistern. It's talking about all these things that we just mentioned. So the Gemara says, no, Habehedi Katani La, but we learned that explicitly in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said explicitly that I could fix the roads. So the Mishnah says I could fix the roads and I'll fix the mikvahs. So Kol is referring to something else. But Osin Kol Tzarchei Rabim La Tuyimai. What is Osin Kol Tzarchei Rabim coming to include? Is it not coming negative interrogative to include Chafira? So again, let me just summarize again. We'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So the basic yisod is that you can't do Malach on Chol HaMoed, but certain exceptions exist. So for an individual, there's an exception, Tzarchei Moed. I have needs for the Moed, so I can do things that I need to celebrate the Chol HaMoed. There's also, I don't know if this is the one, there's also Ochel Nefesh. I can prepare food on Chol HaMoed. So, but I can only do it, obviously, if I need it for the Moed, and it can't have Tircha Yetera, excessive exertion involved. So therefore, Yachid is allowed to do Chatita. He can clear the debris out of his cistern on Chol HaMoed, but he can't, Yachid cannot do Chafira on Chol HaMoed, even if he needs it, because that's excessive exertion. So he's not allowed to excavate a cistern from the get-go. But the Rabbim, they have a different set of rules. So if it's a communal cistern or a communal water system, they could do Chatita even if they don't require it for Chol HaMoed, and because the Tzarchei Rabbim override that requirement. And then the Rabbim, if they do need it, can do Chafira, which is a lot of work. But they can do Chafira if they require the water during Chol HaMoed. And I think that's the basic idea we learned. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
So this has no relevance to Shemitah at this point. We got away from Shemitah.
Well, I mean, this, of course, the shemitz is just things that grow. We're talking about a cistern. This has nothing to do with the shemitah.
Okay, so stylistically, why did we go in with shemitah and then separate from it?
So I think it's in the Mishnah. Let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, that's right. The Mishnah was speaking about watering the irrigated field on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. So that's we're watering the irrigated field that relates to growing. That was the part that we got into with Shemitah. And the Mishnah said, Bein B'Moed U'B'Shviyat, on Chol HaMoed and the Shemitah year. That those halachot, when it related to growing, so we're talking about Chol HaMoed and Shemitah. Now we're talking about other things that we do on Chol HaMoed, okay?
I think I saw Gzeira Shavet somewhere also earlier on with regard to that. That what applies to the laws of Shemitah at the time during Chol HaMoed with planting seeds. I think that seemed to come up in the Gemara. I think in Beis or Gimel.
Well, Beis I didn't do. Gimel I did. I don't remember any Zerushava on Gimel that related to that. But, all right, you have what you need, I think, though. All right, now, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, so I'm going to move on. Okay, everybody mute themselves again. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. All right, so we're on the fourth wide line on Ham and Aleph. Okay, so 5A, the fourth wide line. Let me make sure nobody's waiting to get in. Everybody's good. Okay, so we said that on Chol HaMoed, we mark off the graves. In other words, they would mark off the graves with lime so people aren't noticed that there's a grave there. So if a person's carrying truma, he won't go over there because then he'll be mitame the truma. It's an avera to me, mitame the truma. So the Gemara says, Amrim Shimon Pazi, remez et sin kvar minator minayin. So Shimon Pazi says, where is there remez that there's a requirement to be mitame the kvar? Somebody needs to mute themselves. So they didn't mute themselves. Let me help you. All right. So remez et sin kvar minator minayin. Where is there remez for tzin kvar? Now, from this Gemara, it sounds like marking off graves is a requirement from the Torah itself. And there's another Gemara that sounds like it's in the Rabbanan. We'll talk shortly about this, okay? So Remez is seen from the Torah 9, Tamalomar, Ra'a etzim adam avana etzlo tziyun. There's a Pasuk in Yechezkel. This Pasuk is in the Haftorah that we have on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, which is Biyom Bo Gog, when Gog comes, like there's a Melchemet Gog u'Magog. So the Navi foresees, prophesies that there'll be many dead people around Eretz Yisrael. And the Navi says, B'ra'a etzim adam, a person will see a bone, u'vana etzlo tzion, he'll build a marker near the bone. So that sounds like you do build markers for dead bodies. Now the only thing is that first, the dead body might be a non-Jewish body. There's a question whether there's tumas ol on a non-Jewish body. But secondly, it's referring to a single bone. So a single bone would not have tumas ol. So it's just a remez. And Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned this today. So that's just a remez. So Amarli Ravina Ravashim. I mean, coming like to Yechezkel, Man Amar. So Ravina says Ravashi, but before Yechezkel stated this pasuk, so where was the raya before then? Like, how did anybody know that there's a few to pull a marker on the graves? So he says in response, and we've had this Gemara before. You see, it's Eich Kesaik and few on the side. In Tanis and Yoma, we had it. He says, L'tameich ha-damarapis, the Dvar Zemi Tvort Moshe Rabbeinu L'manu, M'divrichus L'muz L'manu. So he's going to say there's a halacha that a Kohen who's an arel, a Kohen who's not circumcised, cannot do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, he could be from Kohen and not be circumcised because his brothers died from having a bris. So, al pi halacha, we wouldn't give him a bris. Nevertheless, he cannot do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Kisa says, we don't know it from the Torah, we know it from Pasuk in Yechezkel. There's Koben Nechar, Erolev, Erol Basar, Lo Yavo El Mikdashi. That Ben Nechar is like a person who's estranged. It's like a person, Lechora, who had done a Avodah Zarah. And Erol Lev is uncircumcised heart, but Erol Basar is uncircumcised flesh. So he says, you couldn't come to my mikdash. So we come like the Chazkel Manamar. So before the Chazkel, you know, lived. So who said this? How do they know before the pasuk in the Chazkel? Says the Elikamar and Gemira law. They had a mesorah that this is a halacha Moshe Misinai. They had a mesorah that you know, that Cohen who's an Ariel can't serve in the base of mikdash. But the Chazkel was machak cross. The Chazkel came and then he gave it support from the pasuk. Hachanami Gemara and Gemira law. But the Chazkel was machak cross. So too here as well. With the obligation to demarcate the graves, there was a mesorah that is an obligation to demarcate the graves. And then Yechezkel came and provided the pasuk that supports it, but they had a mesorah before that. Now, I mentioned to you before that there's Okay, so if you look at the Tosfos, the third last Tosfos, Hamikami like the Yechezkel. Everybody see the Tosfos? The third Tosfos from the end of the page. It says, Klomar, the Didat Amr, the Zmanazah, having me derived to, according to you that say the obligation to demarcate graves is from the Torah, and came Hamikami like the Yechezkel, have a little Kach Baruch Hu Lashmin on Sarf Sion. So before Yechezkel came, so Kach Baruch Hu should have told us that it requires a demarcation. Umatare, Tarbek Verm, the Kinlan, the Sermon of Torah, the Tipit Krah. So the Gemara says there are other things that are like halakha Moshe Misinai until Yechezkel came, and this one is one of them as well. Now there's a stira because there's a Gemara Masechet Nida, and the Gemara Nida it says that the Kutim we can rely on the Kutim that they demarcate the graves. And the Kutim they don't do things that the Chazal teach us. They only do things that are in the written Torah. So how can we rely on the Kutim that they're like demarcating graves? So the Gemara says, there's a Pasuk in Yechezkel. So the Gemara ends up saying that over there, it's really a Din D'Rabbanan. So here it seems to say Din D'Rais, and over there it seems to say Din D'Rabbanan. So I saw this in the Masifta Gemara, and then Rabbi Libus was quoting as well. The Aruch Laner says, he wants to say that really that Gemara also holds the Din D'Oraita that they can't demarcate the graves. And since it's Din D'Rabbanan, it just means that since it's not written in the Pesukim, it was in Achinami Salach L'Moshe Misinai, but since it wasn't written in the Pesukim, so they regard this as since it's not written in the Pesukim, they would have regarded it as a Torah Shabbat, they wouldn't have done it. But then, since it's a Pasuk in Yechezkel, they're doing it. But it doesn't mean that it's really Durabbanan. So the Gemara says Durabbanan, it means it was Halakha L'Moshe Misinai, but it wasn't part of the written Torah. That's the basic way it's coming out. That's the way I remember it. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. Now, because it is in Achinam is in Durabbanan, but since there is a Pasuk in Yechezkel, right, so they don't view it as like part of the halakha Moshe Misinai. All right, so let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so now Rabbi Abahu Amar, so again, the Gemara has different proofs. Rabbi Libu said, I think there were 9 proofs here. Rabbi Abahu Amar Mehacha, the Tamei Tamei Yikra. So this passage is talking about a person who's a Mitzora. So the Gemara says, he's going to be outside the machaneh, but tamei tamei yikra. He's going to call out. He, the Mitzvah, is going to call out, tamei tamei. So he says, tuma korlo vomerlo proch. That the tuma calls out and says, stay away. So it means one way to say is that the Mitzvah is saying, I'm tamei, stay away from me. I'm tamei. It's like lahabdil, like the person's got COVID. You know, you want to stay away from the person. So this person Mitzvah, you want to stay away from the person. Now, another shot that I saw in the Masifta from, I think, the Reem from Paris, one of the Rishonim, was saying that the Tamei Tamei Yikra means that the Tamei will call out Tamei. In other words, that which is Tamei will call out Tamei. So he's saying that, like, the grave will call out that I'm Tamei. The grave will call that I'm Tamei by having the demarcation around it. Okay. The Chenomar Rabbi Uziel Bar Breg Rabbi Uziel Rabba. So it's Rabbi Uziel, who is the grandson of the great Rabbi Uziel, said, Tumen Kor Lo Vomer Lo Proch. The Tumen calls out and says, separate away from me. In other words, that's a raya, or this Rabbi Abahu's proof that there's an obligation to demarcate the grave. It's just like the Mitzora, of course, that is Tamei. So the grave should, like, in quotes, pull out that it's Tamei. That would be for the demarcation. So the Gemara says, "Vahai lahaki v'da'ata." Is that what the pasuk Tamei Tamei Yikra is coming to teach me? Ahumi ba'ilei l'tanya. I need it to teach me with for that which was taught in the following brayza. With Tamei Tamei Yikra, it should call out Tamei. Tzarich lo diyitzaro the rabbim. Rabbim vashim lavrachimim. In other words, that the Masorah calls out that I'm Tamei, and then people know about it, and now there'll be mitpalel for him that he should have Baruch Hushleimu. So which is it? Is the Pasuk Tamei Tamei Yikra coming to teach me that he has to notify people, or a person who's in distress has to notify people so that they'll pray for him? Or is it that someone who's Tamei has to have, like, notification to say, you know, stay away from my tumah? So Imkin Lifto with Tamei Yikra. If it was only teaching me that last halacha, I only had to say once, with Tamei Yikra. This is my B'Tamei Tamei. What does it mean, Tamei Tamei? It says, Shem Min Atarti. So I learned one Tamei is teaching me I'll be mispalo for the person, or should be mispalo. The Tamei is teaching me that, like, there has to be notification so people will stay away from it. All right, let me just do a few more proofs and then I will pause. He says, Abai Mar Mehata. Abai says the proof to demarcate the graves is from here. Before a blind person, don't put a stumbling block. And it means that, again, so people who are carrying truma, so they're like sort of like getting blindsided by these graves unless we demarcate them. So we have to demarcate them to prevent them from being mitame truma. Mitame truma is an avera. He says, Rapap Amar, and the Bach has the words, which is the Bach, Rapap Amar Mehaka. So Rapapa says from here. He says, Va'amar solu panudara. This is the opening psukim of the Haftorah we have on Chol HaMoed. Oh, no, not Chol HaMoed, Yom Kippur. Va'amar solu panudara. He'll say, pave the way, clear the path. So clear the path is from the Nevi'im, but saying I have to make sure the path is clear, both, you know, not just physically, but like spiritually, that I can walk on the road. Rav Chinuna Amar, Harim Nefshomi Derechmi. Rav Chinuna says from the end of that same Pasuk, says, lift off the stumbling block from the path of my nation. Rabbi Shubarei, Rav Ibi Amar, and with the Talahim at Aderech Yelkuba. This is an interesting Pasuk. You'll notify them the Derech that they should go. So the Torah means like the path, you know, in life, you know, like how to conduct your life. But he's saying, you'll notify them the path that they can go that's free of tumah. He says, Marzutra Amar, these are temepene somi tumatam. You'll separate Kali Yisrael from tumah. There's also separation. Ravashi Amar, Ushmar temet nishmarti, you should guard my charge. It means like to guard the truma. It says, Asuma shmeret lemishmarti. You should, you know, create a safeguard around my truma. So the safeguard is that, you know, I'll mark off the graves. Rabin Amar, Vesam derech arenu b'yesha lokim, that I'll, like, from derech, I'll arrange the derech, I'll see B'yesha, I'll see the person who arranges the derech will see the salvation of God. Arranging the derech means I'm going to make a simon which way to go. Okay? So let me pause for a second and see if we have any questions, comments, or thoughts on what we did.
Yeah. I have a question going back to the Kohen is an Arla. Could you explain how that's possible? I didn't hear the explanation.
Yeah. He's a Kohen. His brothers had a bris milah and each died from the bris. So he had one brother, he died. Another brother died. Now he's the third child. So they're gonna not give him a bris because they're afraid he'll die as well. All right. Thank you. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. Make sure you're muted. Okay.
All right. Now let's go further in the Gemara.
All right. Now the Gemara has a drasha from that pasuk that we just quoted. The pasuk said, the one who arranges the path will see in salvation of God. So our Rishu ben Levi, well, Hasham or Chotav, Zochav Ruah B'Shutosh Tavarku. So in other words, instead of Sam with like a Shin Smalit, we were a sin, we can change it to like a Shin Yamanit with the dots on the right leg and say, Kol Hasham, whoever evaluates this path will see the Yeshua from Hashem. And Rashi explains, Aren be Yeshalakim, 6 lines from the bottom of Rashi. Zahashamor Chotab, Lachavshev, Hefsev Mitzvah, Kineget Skara. The one who calculates the loss of a mitzvah, in other words, every mitzvah involves some loss of time or money, you know, opposite the reward you get. The reward is greater. With Skara Veira, and the reward for an Aveira, every Aveira has a type of illusory reward, can I get a Hepsidah? Can I get a post with loss? The Sham Moshamin, evaluating. So let's see back in the Gemara. It says, Amrish relating to Hashem or Chotav Zoka Ro Bishua Toa Shal Kasparku. If you evaluate your path, your Zoka Tzvi Yishua from Hashem, Shanim or B'Sam Derek. Atikre B'Sam El B'Sham Derek. Arenu B'Yesh Elokim. Rabbi Yonai Habalei Ahu Talmid Adho Yoma Habamachalei. So Rabbi Yonai had a certain Talmud, and every day he would ask him questions. He says, the Shabbat D'Rigla Lo Habamachalei. Shabbat D'Rigla would be the Shiurim on the Shabbos before the Yontiv. So Rabbi Yonai would be giving shiurim to the whole populace, the general population, on the Yontiv. So he didn't ask questions on that shiur. So Rashi takes it. If you look at last Rashi, Shem Da'atikuli Yom Lepirka, everybody's coming to the shiur. We'll have a lot to the Pirukia, have a Nechsef. If he asks him a question and the Rebbe can't answer it, the Rebbe's going to be embarrassed from it. So he didn't ask him the question. Now some want to say, it's like if he would ask the questions, maybe the people would get like so confused with the question and or whatever. But in other words, it wasn't seicheldik to ask the question at that point. He says, "Lo habamachilei." Turn page, top line on the Hammer Days. Kari alei b'sham derech arenu b'yesh elokim. So Rabbi Yonai applied to him this pasuk, the one who evaluates his path was to b'yesh elokim, and he made the cheshbon that now's not the right time. Do this. Okay, now it's time for story, because they have a story. The same story is in the Al-Hadaf and in the Daf Digest today. Okay, in the big shul in Dvinsk, Dvinsk was a town in Latvia. There was a shir attended by about 30 balabatim. Once the renowned Reb Lev Charev Zitzal was in attendance and objected vocally to a certain explanation given by the Maggid shir. Reb Lev's trenchant question impressed all the other attendants, especially since the Maggid Shir seems to be at a loss to find an answer. So he asked the Shtark Akasha, and the person who's giving the Shir doesn't know how to answer the question. Rav Meir Simcha Zitzal, the Rav in Dvinsk, that's Rav Meir Simcha, that's the Or Sameach. So he was the Rav in Dvinsk. He said he was also in attendance that day. He got up and approached Rav Leib and gently said, why is someone who doesn't know the difference between right and left asking questions? So Rav Leib silently left the base medrash, and the Maggid Shir continued where he left off. Everyone is very surprised at this remark, since Reb Leib was known to be a great scholar. He's also very close to Reb Meir Simcha. And Reb Meir Simcha is the Or Sameach, he's the Meshach Chachma. So he says, even if there had been a fallacy in Reb Leib's question, why didn't Reb Meir Simcha simply point it out, instead of so bluntly putting Reb Leib in his place? Reb Leib himself was even more confused. Surely the tzaddik wouldn't rebuke him, unless he deserved it, but what exactly had he done wrong? When the shir ended, Reb Leib returned and asked for an explanation. The Gadol explained, I was only repeating the Gemara in Moed Kat Daf Hey. The Rabbi Shimon Levi says that all who measure Sham their ways merit to see the deliverance of Hashem. As it says, B'Sam Derech. Don't read B'Sam, the Shin on the Dagesh on the left, El B'Sham, with the Dagesh on the right. Rabbi Yonai had a student who would pose challenging questions every day. From the Shabbos to the regular, when people were visiting, the student would refrain so as not to embarrass his teacher. Rabbi Yonai said about the student, B'Sham Derech. Rabbi Meir Simcha concluded, Eli meant you don't know the difference between the left and the right dot on the shin. And if you had, you would not have embarrassed the Maggid Shir. In other words, now it's time, the Pasuk says B'Sam Derech, but now it's time B'Sham Derech, to evaluate the path and make a cheshbon. So you didn't do it right. That's what I meant. You didn't know the right from the left. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? All right. I'm moving on. Okay. So now we're on Bava Mubeis on the second line from the top. Okay. Now we're going to learn a Braisa. We must be patient with this Braisa because we do not understand it. Okay, so let us all be patient. We're going to read through the Braisa, and then the Gemara will analyze the Braisa. All right? So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we're demarcating graves, but I'm not going to demarcate if it's just a kazayas of flesh from the cadaver. I'm not going to mark that off as a grave. And the Gemara will ask, kazayas could also be mitami ba'ol. Why not? Below all etzim kisora, if there's a bone the size of a barley seed, says so only from tumas maga, I'm only tummy if I touch it. So we figure a person's walking over, he can be careful what he touches, what he doesn't touch. I'm only worried about tumas ohel to be mitzayin. You know, tumas ohel is when tumas ohel could be a number of ways, but one way is when I'm over the grave. Below all devar sheinu mitami ba ohel, and we're not going to mark off, if it's not tumas ohel, we're not going to mark it off. But I would demarcate the grave if I have an entire spinal column, then I would demarcate it. He says, "Bial hagul golit." If it's an entire skull, I would demarcate that as well. And the answer is either we'll see that either one of those can be metame tumas ohel. Rov binyan bial rov binyan. Rov binyan is rov binyan like most of the structure. So the Gemara learns it means you have the lower leg, and you have the hip bone and another lower leg. That's rov binyan. And rov binyan is most of the bones of the body. He says hamay. I'm not going to mark the O definite, but it means like where it's open and notorious. Let's say there's a cemetery and everybody knows it's a cemetery. I don't have to mark off the cemetery, that everybody knows that. But I would demarcate Sveikot, and we'll see in the Gemara what this means. The other one is Sveikot. Chodu praot are like the canopy from trees that are coming out. We'll explain shortly. Praot are the outcroppings of rock. And beta pras, we'll come to see there's different types of beta pras. One type of beta pras is where there's a grave there, but we don't know where the grave is in the field. We wouldn't put the demarcation right where the tuma is. In other words, till I see the demarcation, I'm already tame. That's not going to help me. I don't want to put the demarcation too far away because I'm taking land away, usable land away from Eretz Yisrael. He says, okay, that's the end of the Braisa, okay? So again, be patient. We don't understand the Braisa. We're going to try to explain it now, okay? So now, the Gemara says, Simon made in a time of OL. So the first item in the Braisa was, we said that we're not going to demarcate, and demarcating is by making like this marking with lime on the ground so everybody sees that there's a grave there. So if there's a Simon made, an olive size of flesh from a cadaver, I'm not going to demarcate it as a grave. So the Gemara says, so we think that it's not Matami Ba'ol, because otherwise, why am we not demarcating it? So the Gemara says, because I'm going to make no Matami Ba'ol, it's not Matami Ba'ol. Tanan, we learn the Mishnah Masechet Arlo, in the Mishnah Matami Ba'ol, the following items are Matami Ba'ol, and it gives a whole list, because I'm in Amei. So I'm in Amei is Matami Ba'ol, so why am I not demarcating it? So Amara Papa, Acha, because I'm in Tzum Samastina. So Papa said, the Bryce is talking about where I have exactly a Kazayas. He says, the Sof Mechser Chaser. So this is buried in the ground. In a little while, it's going to be less than a kezias, and then it's not going to transmit tumah. So it's better to risk the chance that right now, in the short term, somebody might walk over it. We're not demarcating it. And then we would tell him, or he would know, that he had walked over a place where there was a kezias there, and he'll have to burn tumah. Whereas if we mark it off with this lime, then anybody walks there a week, a month, or 2 months from now, he's going to think, oh, there's a grave there, I have to burn the truma. But the truth is, since it had exactly a kezayit, it got less than a kezayit after a short period of time, because as it was decomposing, there was less than a kezayit there. All right, who said questions, comments, so that's anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. Okay, so moving on.
Okay, now. Okay, so now going down the Braisa, so Kazayas Menomet we spoke about, Etzim Kisor we spoke about, that was where it's the size of a barley seed, it's only Matam Maga, not Ba'ol, and the Shidra we said was, that's enough to give Tumas Ohel if it's a whole spinal column, and a Gugolet is also enough to give Tumas Ohel, and we marked it off, Rov Binyan we spoke about, that also most the structure, most the number, and then we said, in the son of the ode, where it's open and notorious, I'm not going to mark it off. Okay, now we're back into, okay. Now back in the Gemara.
These are the Sveikot. He says, Schachodu Praot. Now, Schachodu Praot, so Schachod, Ilana May Sechal Haaretz. Schachod refers to where I have a tree that's extending over the ground. Praot, Avanim Praot, Hayotzot Minagader. That means like outcroppings of rock from the wall. So there's two pshatim we're going to do, and we'll see inside in a minute. So one shot is to say that there's a grave under one of the branches of the tree or one of the outcroppings of rock, but I don't know which branch has got the grave underneath it. So I'm going to demarcate all the branches, and the branches are not close together as to form one canopy. So I'm going to demarcate it to stay away from all the branches because I know on one of the branches it's there. That's one pshat. Or the other pshat is
that this is near a cemetery and it's in a sort of semi-private area. And I don't know that somebody's buried there, but I have to be concerned that somebody would be buried there because it's the type of place that somebody would just kind of bury somebody. Let's look at Tosfos on this and we'll see in a minute, okay? Let's look 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth Tosfos. Everybody with me? So he says, Ilan Amesich al Aretz, Samuch Lebet HaKfaro. So the Ilan is near the cemetery. The Mitzap Galani, Ikatuma Tatav, Ilo. We're Mesupak, is there anybody buried here or not? Mistama Imriya Deme Tachtav. So Mistama, likely to say that somebody is underneath there, came into Derech Makom Tsanuahu, since it's like a sort of private area. Lachach by Itzion. So it requires Itzion. Okay, that's one shot that Rashi Tosos has. So we don't know for sure. So it's a Safek. But since the likelihood is that there is somebody buried there, we're going to mark it off. In Yanacher, shot number two, the Adinan Badai the Ikatuma Tachat Nofa Kachalilan. We know there's definitely a body under one of the branches, but there's not a space between one branch and the other. We don't know which one's there. The same thing with the stones. So there's, you know, somebody buried under one of the outcroppings of rock, but I don't know which one. All right, so this is two pshatim the Tosfos has. Everybody good? Any questions on what I just said? All right, moving on. Now, back in the Gemara. Now, the third case of Safek is Beit HaPras. So Beit HaPras, Kedidnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, HaChorei Shed HaKever, HaRios HaBeit HaPras. If a person plows over a grave, he renders the whole field Beit HaPras. In other words, he was like plowing to plant, and his plow went through the grave, and now the bone fragments are spread all over the field. So he's rendering the field the Beit HaPras. The Kamahu said, how much of a distance does he turn into this Beit HaPras? The entire length of a faro, which would be 100 amot. So the Gemara says, the Beit HaPras mi matami ba'oel. So the thrust of this Braisa was, we're going to mark off all the places where I have a chashash for tumas oel. So if a Beit HaPras, a kever was plowed over, so is that a chashash of tumas oel? Ha'ama Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Rav Yudah Sanim Shmuel, menapech adam Beit HaPras v'holech. Let's say a person's going to bring his korban pesach, so the last thing he wants is to become tameh. He's on the way to Yerushalayim, and if he's tameh, he can't participate in the korban pesach, so he doesn't want to become tameh. And now he comes over this place, which is Beit HaPras. So Shmuel says, "I have an etzah for you. Menapech adam Beit HaPras. You'll blow the as you go. You'll blow any bone fragments you see. You'll blow it away, and you'll continue to walk." So, but that means that there's no chashash that something's buried underneath him, because if there's something buried underneath him, there wouldn't be an Eitzah, then he'd be Tameh from that. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ami, Mishmezu Ula Amar, Beit HaPras Nidash Tahur, that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ami says, the name of Ula, that a Beit HaPras that was Nidash, it was like a lot of people had treaded over the Beit HaPras, it's Tahur, because we assume that all the people crushed up any bone fragments, and now they're not going to be of a size that could be Metameh anybody. So, but that both of those statements seem to indicate the Beit HaPras is no problem of Tumas Ohel. The only problem we're worried about is a bone fragment on the surface of the ground that the person would touch and make him Tameh. So, if that's the case, how is it that our Braisa said the Beit HaPras does require it to be demarcated? So, Amar Rapapa Lo Kasha. Rapapa said there's no contradiction between the earlier Braisa and statements of Shmuel and the statement of Rabbi Ami. Kan Bestesha Avad Bakever. The earlier Braisa that we said that we have to demarcate is talking about where there's an intact kever in the field, but I don't know where the kever is. That's one type of Beit HaPras. Thomas says, Nick Rashba kever. Where Shmuel and Rabbi Ami were talking about a different type of Beit HaPras, a Beit HaPras where the kever is not intact, it was plowed over. So the plowed over kever, I'm not afraid about Tumas Ohel. But the one that the kever is buried there and it's intact, then I'm worried about Tumas Ohel. So that's the case that the Bryce is talking about, that I have to demarcate. So the Gemara says, the tradition of Peshba Kever, Beit HaPras Karile, you mean a field that a kever has been plowed over, you call that Beit HaPras. Beit HaPras means like a fragment, like slice is a pras, okay? This is in, we do. We learn in the Mishnah, and if you remember this Mishnah, Masechet Ahlod, or the Holjun good stead. So Beit HaPrasim. There are three fields that are called Beit HaPras. This is Sadeh Shenevo Bakever. The first definition is a field that there's an intact kever there, but I don't know where in the field the kever is. So the whole field is called Beit HaPras, and I have to be choshesh on walking in there because I might become tamei. Definition number two is a field that there was a grave and the grave was plowed over. That's also Beit HaPras. The Ste Bochin, the crying field, which we'll explain in a minute. My Ste Bochin, Rabbi Shubar Abba, Mishmid Ulamar, Sishma Kirin Bameitim. So the way Rashi explains this is that when I'm transporting a dead body from one town to another town, they would have like a field, like let's say, you know, you have town A and town B, and the Beit HaKfar was in town B. So I'm transporting the body from town A to town B. When I get to town B, there's a field outside the town where they switch over from, I guess, the Chevra Kaddish from town B to the Chevra Kaddish where we were, whichever one was the first town. If I start with B, then there's A or B. So I switch off the Chevra Kaddishes. So they call it Ste Bochim, that the Gemara, the way Rashi takes it, that it might be that like some piece of the body fell off and the people from the first group think the people from the second group will take care of it. The people from the second group think the people from the first group will take care of it. And so Bain Kach, nobody takes care of it. And they left there. It says Vitamamai. So it says Sadeshim Avtin Bameitim, that we put the dead people there. And then they're going to bury the person in the Beit HaKfar, which is another location. Vitamamai, Amar Vini, from Yeish Baalim Naguba. They got involved because of Yeish Baalim, that it's falling about like through the cracks. Anyway. So we have three definitions for the Beit HaKfarot. So the only one that, as between the first two, which is Sadeh, that was Sha'abad Bakever, that a grave was in there, but we don't know where, an intact grave. And the other is Shenechrash Bakever, that it was plowed over. So I'm only worried about the first case with Tumas Oel, not the second case. So in with this Sadeh Sha'abad Bakever, it's not a cemetery. It's just that the field, anywhere in that field where the kever might be, so it's got to all be marked off of a swath of land. So the Gemara says, you mean a field that a kever was in that was plowed doesn't require demarcation? That is what we said before. Bahatani, but we learned in the Braisa. Now this Braisa is going to seem to say the opposite. Bahatanya, masasade mitsuyene. If a person found a field that was demarcated, he doesn't know what the nature of this field is, meaning he doesn't know if it's a sadish and nechrash bekever. If it's nechrash, he can blow and then make his way through it, or is the sadish sha'abad bekever. But the implication being that both of them would be demarcated, marked off. Yedu mativa, yesh ba ilanod, if there are trees there, yedu shenechrash bekever. In other words, if there are trees there, so you plow near the trees, so then you can rest assured that it's a field that the kever was plowed over. Ein ba ilanot, if there are no ilanot, yadusha abad ba kever. There's no ilanot, then it's where the kever was there somewhere. We don't know where it is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tana Kama. Ad shehei sham zakeinu tamid. You can't rely on trees, not trees. You need to get a zakein or a tamid chacham that's to tell you, to give you testimony, what's doing with this field. And everybody's so balking on this, but a Talmud Chacham will make it his business to find out and know what the status is. But the bottom line is, it seems like that the field is marked off, whether it's Sadeh Shenechrash Bakever or Sha'abad Bakever. That's the question. So Amara Papa, Kitanihi, Basle Sha'abad Bakever. So Rapapa said, we misunderstood the Bryce. The Bryce is talking about that it was a field, that there was a kever there that was intact. And that's why it was marked off, was demarcated. The Sinua. But Yesh ba Ilanot, Biadua Shnechrash ba Kever. But if there are Ilanot there, you can rest assured that since the time that the Kever was there, the Kever was then subsequently plowed over. In other words, the field had a Kever and they didn't know where it was. But if there are trees there, Papa's saying, now you can rest assured that the Kever was plowed over. Ein ba Ilanot, Biadua Sha'abad ba Kever. If there's no Ilanot, then the status quo ante remains. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara is assuming, let's say I have a field, and in the middle of the field is a bunch of trees, and in the perimeter of the field there are no trees. So maybe the plowing is only taking place near the trees. The Gemara assumes you plow near the trees. So no, please, but doesn't tell you anything about where the trees aren't. So the Gemara says, Kida Amar Ula, like Ula explained in a different sugya, that the trees were aligning the gavul, the border of the field, meaning between the Rishut HaRabim and the field. So the Rishut HaRabim, I know nobody's going to bury anything. And then I have the trees, so the trees are, between the trees is plowed. But the Gemara says the top line above Amud Aleph, Vidilma Tuma Migabai, even Omi Brai. But maybe the Tuma is interior to where the trees are, and the trees are along the perimeter, and then interior that we could have the grave. The Mesubachin. So the Gemara says it's talking about there are trees all over the place. The whole place is filled with trees. We assume that people plow near the trees to help the trees grow. Mimela, at that point, you could take it that it has a din of Nech Rashbat Kever. Let me just finish this again, and then I'll take questions. We'll summarize and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? He says, okay, that's, so again, the question we said that I'm only going to demarcate the field if it's Sada Sha'abad Bat Kever. The Kever was there, but intact. I don't know where it is. The Nech Rashbat Kever, I'm not going to do it. And then we had this Bryce, it sounded like I'm demarcating both. So the Gemara said, no. The Bryce is talking about it was a field and it was Abad Bat Kever. And then, but subsequently, if there are trees there, you can assume people subsequently came and plowed up the field, and now you can treat it as something like that. But he said, if I got trees, but maybe the grave is not near the trees. So the Gemara said, the trees are all over the place. So the Gemara says, or the Ebite Amo, or else I could say, Amran, Amar, he can see in Makom Tuma, Shalom, see the Eretz Israel. So we learned earlier, the demarcation should not be too far away from where the grave is. So here, it could be that in Akinah may have the trees and I have an area with no trees, but the demarcation is where the trees are. So I know the grave is not far away. In other words, if the demarcation is near where the trees are, that's where the grave is, near the trees. All right, now just a few more lines, then we'll pause. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ashesham Zakeno Tamid. Rabbi Yehuda says he can't rely on trees, not trees. You need the testimony of a Zakein, means like an elderly Tamid Chacham or a young Tamid Chacham. Now I'm even so expert about this. So Amar Abayi Shlomina Tzurmin Rabbanan B'mata Kumin L'demata Alei Ramya. That if you have a young Talmid Chacham in the city, it's like everything falls on his shoulders to clarify and to know what's going on with it. Let's see Rashi. He says Kumin on the second arrow line Kumin L'demata Alei Ramya the Talmid Baki who he's a Baki. It was Talmid Chacham. He could he'll testify about what's going on with the field. Okay, so first, any questions, comments, and thoughts? Here's the Gemara. Any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? Yeah. In other words, right. The marking, right. The marking, I assume, is along the ground, but the marking was not impacted by the plowing. All right. Any other questions, comments, and thoughts? Okay, so if that's the case, let me see if there's something else to say from one of the sheets, and then that'll be it. One second. Oh, okay. Let me just say one thing here, and we'll do a little bit. This is from the Daf Yomi Digest. Okay, so Rashi and Tosos write the requirement to erect a matseva for the deceased is derived from Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Okay, so we spoke about making a tzion, a marker on the grave. So Rashi and Tosos say that that's part of the same Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai that we put a matseva on a grave, and the purpose is to warn Kohanim about the presence of tumah. So that's the purpose he wants of having the matseva. Now, it is cited in the name of the Arizal, an additional rationale behind the obligation to erect a matseva is to provide a seat and resting place for the powers that surround the nefesh. I don't know what he means, powers that surround the nefesh, but in some way, like the nefesh needs a place to kind of like perch itself. For this reason, one of the names for a matseva is nefesh, to note that the matseva is the resting place of the nefesh. Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, the Gaon Chida, addressed the question of following the directions of a person who instructed his family that he did not want a matseva erected on his grave after he passed away. The Gaon Chida wrote that the family should not adhere to his wishes. If the deceased would have been aware of the benefit the matseva provides the soul, he certainly would not have left behind these instructions. Therefore, at least a small matseva could be erected to provide the soul with that satisfaction. The Gaon Chida warns, however, that the matseva should not be too small so as to be rendered ineffective. Rather, it should be large enough to be recognized as a matseva. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, the Tshuvas Vayashev Hayam, writes that it must be large enough to be called a seat, and he proves that to fulfill this requirement must be at least 3 tefachim wide by 1 tefach tall. Okay, now, authorities write that one must be very careful to provide the deceased with this matseva, because without it, the nefesh will not be able to rest and will experience pain. Therefore, one should erect a minimum matzeva immediately after Shiva to provide rest for the nefesh. If one wishes, a nicer matzeva can be obtained later. Other authorities, however, do not require that a matzeva be erected immediately after Shiva. Obviously, one must consult the Rav for practical guidance. I can tell you, in Eretz Yisrael, as far as I know, they do that Kamas Matzeva after 30 days in Eretz Yisrael. Here in Chutz La'aretz, we usually wait like a year to do Kamas Matzeva. There are other dinim with the Kamas Matzeva that's mentioned as well. In general, a headstone is better than a footstone. A headstone is much better. And the Kisur Shulchan Aruch brings, it's better, rather than spending a lot of money on the matseva, it's better if a person would spend the money, let's say, you know, for tzedakah or things like that, and to have, you know, in terms of the material it's made out of and things like that, that it should be, you know, could be a little more simple that way. Okay, I think that's going to do with matsevas and the daf. Okay, that's going to be tight. Let me just end recording 1 second.